Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
I want you to open up your Bibles if you have them to Habakkuk chapter 2. This is what I want to cover today. Is it Habakkuk or Habakkuk? See, nobody knows, see? Maybe it's Habakkuk. Habakkuk. So I want to talk about our vision today, our strategy, our heart, our letter of recommendation, our qualifications, and our deliverer. I want to try to get through these things today. I'm really going to be able to just read the scriptures. But our vision in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I love this because this man of God is putting himself in a position to watch. And he's putting himself in a position to see and hear what the Lord has to say. So he's needing a vision. All right, he's needing a vision. And in verse 2, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that we may run who reads it. This is what we're talking about today with the sign, right? I mean, this scripture is interesting because it could have two interpretations. You know, one interpretation is the Lord saying, write the vision, make it so plain that even the person who runs by quickly can catch it. And that's what we have in our new branding, right? That they know, man, this is Living Way Church. They know it's a Christian church, and they know they'll experience something real. So to me, that's perfect. But on a more personal level, about us, this is what the Lord would be saying to us. The vision of your life, your values, your morals should be so clear that the people who run by you know exactly what you're all about. Amen? So you should be able to share your faith with others in such a way that they'll be able to run with it. They're going to say, man, this is it. There is something about this that I want to run with. Amen? So listen, when we're talking about branding and marketing, you need to know you're it. Amen? Verse 3, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Everyone say, at the end it will speak. Listen, at the end it will speak and it will not lie. At the end it will speak. All right? He says, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. At the end it will speak. So because the vision speaks at the end, we have to be speaking about it now. Do you understand? We need to continually be speaking about the vision in our heart. You know, this is why we need to keep speaking of your faith today. You got to keep speaking about the ministry here. Keep speaking about LWC. Keep inviting people. Keep reaching out to people, church. Just keep on letting them know that this is the place. This is somewhere you can experience something real. Keep the vision. You keep speaking about it. Listen, one day, the things that you've been talking about will speak for themselves. Until that time comes, the Lord says, you got to stay active. You got to keep telling people about your faith. Tell people how you're growing. Tell people about LWC. Amen? Listen, this is how we grow. It's through relationships. A sign might catch someone's attention, but you're going to catch their heart. Amen? We're fishers of men, right? A card might be something to give them information, but man, they need to feel cared for. Amen? And so it says, at the end it will speak. At the end it will speak. So we need to just keep on moving in that direction, because someday, when people come to realize that what you've been talking about is true, man, they're going to come and realize, they'll walk into the church someday and realize that, man, you know, some of you are here right now today, and you realize for the first time, oh, and I know because the anointing's on this, for the first time, some of you here today are recognizing Jesus loves me. Come on, I don't know who that is, but in here today, since you've been attending LWC, something in your heart says, man, I can be loved by Jesus. I'm loved by Jesus. Come on, if this is you, shoot up a hand. For the first time in your life, you recognize that the love of Jesus is real. People come in and they realize this, and they begin to realize that, wait a minute, man, I can be part of something. I can be part of a church that's real. I can experience something real here. So you just keep inviting them. And at the end, it'll speak for itself. Amen? Until the end comes, until they come, you just keep talking about it. Amen? Let me talk to you about our strategy. I want to move fairly quickly today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. By the way, last Sunday, if you're following our reading plan, we started reading 2 Corinthians last Sunday. All right? Our strategy. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here, or a couple translations, but the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 1:12, again, this is our strategy. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we've conducted ourselves before the world and especially towards you. All right, now let me show you this in the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. This is the version I read from. It says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity." Remember the basic acronym? Be a basic Christian. Behave as an authentic, sincere, identifiable Christian. We got to be sincere and authentic, right? So look at this. He says, "Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you." So I actually journaled on this verse last week. And this is what jumped out to me. Everyone say this. Say, our boasting is this. The testimony of our conscience. So we're talking about our strategy. And this is what I wrote. The testimony of my conscience is what I have to live with every day of my life. My conscience is what tells me the truth about myself and also tells me the truth about my motives. How I conduct myself must come from pure motives. I must conduct myself in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity. I'm to behave as an authentic, sincere, identifiable Christian. I don't need to try to impress anyone with flashy words or worldly wisdom. I'm to walk humbly and extend the grace of God to those I meet. I'm to extend even more grace, abundant grace, towards you, the church. All right, so what is the Lord saying? That, man, this is your strategy. Just be authentic and be sincere and be simple in the world. You know, we can't be talking over everybody's head. You know, we have to behave with sincerity and simplicity in the world. Why? Because they need to catch your message. They need to know what you're all about in a matter of seconds. Yeah? Look at verses 13 through 14. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, 13 through 14. Back to the New Living Translation. I like this. It says, "Our letters have been straightforward. There's nothing written between the lines." This is our strategy, right? Straightforward, nothing written between the lines, and nothing you can't understand. Listen, my preaching and teaching style is straightforward. You know, I'm not using large words that you can't understand. Hey, let me tell you why. Because I don't know any large words that you don't understand. That's the truth. But listen, all joking aside, listen, man, I do my best to communicate in such a way so that you don't have to try to read between the lines to catch the revelation and the truth or the life lessons that God's speaking to us. Amen. We're straightforward. You know, we're going to behave in simplicity. We're going to allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to move deep in our life, right? Listen, he said, write the vision down and make it plain, so that everybody who sees it or hears it can run with it. That's my preaching style. Not trying to speak over your head in any way. I don't want to do that. He goes on to say, "I hope someday you will fully understand us." That makes me chuckle. Because, you know, maybe I'm not easy to understand all the time. Maybe I don't even understand myself. We're complicated people, right? We have a lot of layers, a lot of emotions. We have a lot of different things that we walk through during the day. Amen? He says, "I hope someday you'll fully understand us." Verse 14, "even If you don't understand us now, look it, then on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, I love this, you'll be proud of us. That's our end game. Yeah, right now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. So when the time comes and we all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, that even then you'll be proud of Gail and I and our team. And then he goes on to say, you will be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. And listen, I want to tell you, Pastor Gail and I, we are really, really proud of you. We really are. We are so proud to be pastoring people like you. You are genuine, you're sincere, you're real, you're honest. You're here because you want to grow in the Lord. We are sincerely, sincerely proud of you. We mean it too. My wife's not here right now. She sends her love, but we are proud of you, and we're proud to be pastoring a church like this. Amen. All right, let's talk about our heart. Our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. Look at this. Now I call upon God as my witness that I'm telling you the truth. Paul says, the reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke. So the Apostle Paul is really, he's pastoring Corinth. He found the church, kind of like we found this church, right? We established this church. We planted it. And so here, Paul, the pastor, he wasn't wanting to bring correction in such a way that it would crush the church's spirit. You understand? He was careful to not rebuke the church too severely. All right, so I may talk about these things because, listen, our tones are important. Amen? Our tones are important. And so Paul was saying, man, he was careful. You know, he was letting them know, man, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't return to Corinth because my heart wasn't soft enough to give you the correction you need. It could have been too severe. And so we got to check ourselves. Amen? This is our heart. Look at verse 24. But that does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so you'll be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. So listen, this is our heart, is that, listen, we don't want to dominate you. You know, Gail and I, our team, we don't want to try to control you. We don't want to manipulate you. You can ask anybody that is a leader in our church. Man, I do not micromanage what they're called to do. I don't control with that. I said, man, what's on your heart? I'll do everything I can to come alongside them and support their vision. I'll do everything I can. But listen, I'm telling you, our heart is not to dominate you, to control you. We're not going to intimidate, manipulate you in any way. Listen, I want to tell you this too. We're also not going to flatter you. We're going to be sincere in all of our dealings, amen? And listen, our heart is not to dominate or control. Our heart's just to work together with you. That's really our heart, man. We want to find out, what is God doing in your life? You know, what's God calling you to? We want to work together with you on whatever that looks like. We're working together, amen? And the reality of that is because, man, we know how full of joy you'll be when you're standing firm on your own faith. So I can't take dominion over how you're going to walk out your Christian walk. It's your walk. It's your faith. We just want to come alongside. Again, it's the real thing. You just come wherever you're at. You don't have to pretend to be anybody you are not, and you don't have to pretend to be somewhere you're not either. It's like, man, I'm coming into this place, and I don't know where I'm at. You're welcome. Right? Because here you're going to experience something real. Right? You're going to experience something real. Look at verse 24 in the New King James Version. I love this. Same verse, but different version. It says, now that, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy. That's our heart. Man, I like that, don't you? We are fellow workers for what? For your joy. That's what we want. We know that when you're standing firm in your faith, and we come alongside and we work together with you wherever you're at, and we build you up and do whatever we can to get your vision clear, you're going to have joy. So we are fellow workers for your joy. That's our heart. We want you walking in the fullness of joy, knowing exactly who you are. Amen? All right. How about our letter? So we talked about our vision. Make it plain. You know, make it easy to read. Our strategy, man, be authentic, be sincere. You know, we're not going to in any way try to fool you, right? Our heart is we don't want to dominate. We don't want to intimidate. We don't want to manipulate. We just want to come alongside and support you and help you that your joy may be full. Now look at our letter of recommendation. What about our letter of recommendation? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this was Tuesday's reading, verse 1, says, are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? He says, surely not. Look at verse 2. The only letter of recommendation we need is you. You are our letter of recommendation. You're it. I love this. Look at this. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Listen, everyone can read and recognize our good work among you. Yeah. Listen, do you realize that our lives are being shaped and transformed every single week by the Word of God here? That, listen, all of us. All of us. Our lives are being shaped. They're being transformed. So listen, everyone can see and recognize in your life the difference that God's word is making in your life. They can see it. They can see it. Because we're all being transformed. We're all being renewed by, you know, by the transformation that's happening by the word of God. We're all growing. We're all in different places too. But everyone can see what the Lord is doing in your life. They can see that, man, something is happening because you're talking about LWC. You're talking about the love in this place. You're talking about the reality of it. You're talking about the heart that, man, this is, listen, you are in a unique place. I'm telling you, there's something unique and special that God is doing in this house. And people recognize that. They can see how we deal with conflict. They can see how we behave and interact with one another. Amen? Listen, they can see how we talk about one another when no one else is around. They can see that we're not talking behind one another's back. Yeah? Verse 3, look at this. It says, again, he just says clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry. You are a letter of recommendation. So listen, how you behave outside this building, it's a recommendation on us. Yeah? Because we're all in this together, right? Listen, we're part of the LWC family. So I want to tell you this. You showing up on Sundays means something. Yeah? We're family. We're family. We need to gather at least once a week. Right? You are our letter. So everywhere you go, everywhere you go, it says that you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. It says this letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of living God. It's carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Listen, your life and my life are being impacted by the Word of God and the Spirit of God penetrating who we are. Our character's being changed in good ways. Right? Listen, we're not taking away your personality. We want that. Right? We're not clones. But the reality is, there's things that God is doing inside of your heart, inside of my heart. And when we leave this place, we are Christ's recommendation letter that the church is a good place to belong to. The family of God. Amen? So I want to encourage you, man, begin to make Sunday mornings a priority. Make it a priority. You know, come. Make it a priority to be here as often as you can. Make it a first priority. Get up. Listen, I'll tell you, you get up and you make the decision and you make the commitment to show up on Sunday mornings, the Lord will meet you here. Amen. One of the hardest things I think of my job is when I'm on a series, trying to keep people caught up that didn't hear the first three parts. You know, because there's things flowing, there's things moving. Amen. So we talked about our vision, our strategy, our heart, our letter of recommendation. What about our qualifications? What about our qualifications? Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, I want to tell you, this is the founding verse that God gave my wife and I when he asked us to plant a church. This was it. Because we didn't know what we were doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. And that's an okay thing. But we had no idea what to do. You know, Gail and I were freshly married, you know, and we're supposed to give marriage counseling to people that have been married 40 or 50 years. Stuff like that. You know, and so this is the verse that the Lord gave us, and I'm going to look at three different translations. It says, we are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. So when we answered the call to say, yes, we'll plant a church in New Buffalo, our confidence was because we trusted God would help us. Listen, it is not that we think we're qualified to do anything on our own. This is the verse God gave us. It's not that we think we're qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He's enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Amen? I want to read it from the New American Standard because that's the translation of the Bible I was reading and we read for years when we planted the church because it uses a different word. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. I knew that we were not adequate. And I think that the Lord wanted me to have that. I think that's why I can tell you, I still really don't know what I'm doing. Because as soon as I think I'm adequate, then I start depending and leaning on my own understanding. Listen, I don't want to get caught in a religious rut ever. I want to have consistency, but man, we want to move when the Spirit's moving, and we want to know how. I'm inadequate to be able to be on target all the time. Amen? So it's not that our adequacy is from ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants. Everyone say servants.
Servants.
Yeah, this is it. He made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The New King James Version says, we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves as thinking of anything coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. So listen, no matter how you read it, you know, it's not that we're qualified. That's anything coming from myself. It's not that we are adequate to be able to do what God has called us to do. It's not like that we're sufficient. No, God made us sufficient. God made us adequate. God gave us the qualifications to do what we do, and he'll do the same for you. So when people come in here, you don't have to think that, oh, man, I don't know if I'm qualified. You're not. But God will make you that. You don't have to think you're adequate. You're not. But God will help us do what he called us to do. And so what we want to do is we want to find out what's the Holy Spirit scratching on the inside of your heart? What is it? What is he clawing at? Trying to get you to move on. And then we want to partner with our heart. We want to come alongside that. We want to work together with you. Because when you stand firm on your faith, you're going to have joy unspeakable. Yeah? Our vision, make it plain. Our strategy, man, just be real, be authentic, be sincere. Our heart, man, we're not to dominate or control. We don't want to manipulate, intimidate, or flatter you, right? Our letter of recommendation is you. You're our letter. When you leave this place, you're the one that tells people about LWC. People come into this church in two ways. They come here by personal invitation, and they visit our website. How many of you found our church on the website? Let's see. Yeah, a few of you. How many of you came here because of personal invitation? Yeah, look at that. 98% of you. Our letter of recommendation. We know about our qualifications. Now let me talk to you about our deliverer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Listen, we don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble that Gail and I and other leaders have gone through to get to where we're at now. We don't focus on it, but we've had some hard times. I know that many of you, Jim and Karen Oselko for one, man, when we first came in to this city, I had a hard time because we had a lot of people that wanted to, they were all gung-ho, and as quickly as they came is as quickly as they left. And Jim and Karen Oselka said this to me, just be consistent. That was their word to me 11 years ago. Be consistent. But we walked through some troubles. Amen. Nothing compared to the Apostle Paul and his companions, though. He goes on to say, yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So the Apostle Paul and his team, when they were ministering, the persecution was so severe. It says that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, not that we would be able even to trust in ourselves, but they were at such a point that they were like, there's no way humanly possible that we're going to live through this persecution. They were ready to be martyred right there. They couldn't even trust in themselves. They had to come to the place that said, you know what? If we get killed for walking out our faith, we know God can raise us from the dead. Now, we have never experienced that kind of severe persecution. But Paul has. He says, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Look at verse 10 now. Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Oh man, you got to hear this. You got to hear this for yourself personally, and you got to hear this as a church. Say this with me. Say, the Lord delivered me. He does deliver me and will still deliver me. Come on, say this. The Lord did deliver me. He does deliver me and he'll continue to deliver me. Come on, your deliverance is ongoing. Yeah. Man, I can minister on this. Because, listen, I cried out to the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. The righteous cry out to the Lord, and he delivers them from all their troubles. Yeah, so he has delivered me. He does deliver me, and he's going to continue to deliver me. Listen, if you're not dead, God's not done. So whatever you're facing, whatever it is, whatever you need deliverance from, you need to know, he delivered me before, he'll deliver me again. He's going to continue bringing me breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough. Yeah? So listen, no matter who comes through the doors of this church, man, we know you're in the right place. Because we're going to walk you through whatever you need to walk through, whatever season you're in. Whatever hardships you bring. We're not scared of your wounds. We're not going to run away because we're inconvenienced. Because we want you to know the deliverer the way we do. And we walk with him, amen? We come alongside him, amen? Verse 11, he says, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Listen, your prayers are part of our deliverance. You need to hear that because, listen, your prayers are what keep Gail and I going. That's it. Listen, we cannot continue without your prayers. Your prayers are what keep us going, and we covet them. We covet them. Listen, I want to tell you that on May 14th, which is Mother's Day, I hope Gail doesn't get mad at me. She is making all you moms a special gift. Listen, we don't see much of her right now. You know, she's working, helping with the grandbabies. You know, she's helping with Wallace today and Everett. So you're not seeing a lot of her, but she sends her love. But she's exactly where she wants to be, doing exactly what she wants to do. Amen. And we have another beautiful baby coming, another grandbaby coming soon. So we're excited about that. Does everybody know that? No, some of you didn't know. Well, Brittany and Ricky, yay! So So we are rejoicing with that and preparing for that at the same time, but very exciting time for us. But listen, what I want to tell you is that we covet your prayers, okay? Pray for our family. Pray for us. I talked to Pastor Jim. It's been a long time since I've had a Sunday off. And that's one. I was sick one time, and Pastor Paul came in. So listen, I just want to let you know right now, on the 14th, it's Mother's Day. We're going to have a Mother's Day celebration, things like that. And then Gail and I are going to be unplugging until the first Sunday of June. We're going to spend, I need time with the Lord, and I need time with my wife. I need time with my grandkids. You know, I'm just going to suck it up and love it all the way through. All right, we have Pastor Paul bringing the word. Pastor Jim will be bringing a word. But listen, so I want to let you know, pray for us into that, okay? We're leaving the church on the 14th, and the 15th is our 30th wedding anniversary. Yeah, so we're going to celebrate that and get the rest that I need and we need and take care of that. Amen. So keep that in prayer. And listen, show up for Pastor Paul. Show up for Pastor Jim, man. They're going to bring the word. Yeah? They're going to bring the word. I'm telling you, man, the Lord has brought us some incredible leaders here. Yeah? Did I say that Micah's coming this week? Did I? Yeah, so we have another family coming in. Philippians chapter 1, this is a thank you letter. This is our thank you. And there's no better words than to allow the Apostle Paul to express my heart for you all. He says, whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, and that is an absolute truth. Yeah, when I pray for you, it's always a joy in my heart. You know, we're just blessed to be serving you. We're blessed to be walking with you. We're blessed to see you grow. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Verse 7, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart, and you really do. You guys have a special place in Gail and I's heart, and you really do. I mean, this is not just me reading. These are words from the Apostle Paul, but they are the words of a pastor who really, really, really appreciates every one of you and everything that you represent. Yeah. So give yourself a hand. He goes on to say, you share with me the special favor of God. He said, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. I've never been imprisoned for sharing the good news before, but I got to tell you something. I've been locked up sometimes. Yeah, I've been locked up with insecurity sometimes as a pastor. I've been locked up with feelings of being insufficient. Then I have to go back and remember my sufficiency isn't of my own, right? So I haven't been imprisoned for my faith, but I've been locked up sometimes. I've been locked up in fear sometimes. I've been locked up with discouragement. Come on, can you relate? Yeah. So we share these things, right? We share these things. That's what Paul is saying. Verse 8, he says, God knows... God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. God knows that. God knows that's true about my wife and I towards you. He knows it. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives into the day of Christ's return. That's what we're all after. Same goal, right? Verse 11, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen. Amen. So listen, Pastor Gail and I and our team, we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. You know, you mean the world to us. We love you. We're blessed to be serving alongside you. We're blessed to be growing together. And we have a ministry here. And this ministry, I believe, is special. God's fingerprint is on it. His thumbprint is on it. And it's a blessing to be doing this with all of you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you stand to your feet, please? How many of you can say you're thankful for LWC? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now listen, how many of you can say you're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Pastor Debbie. Oh, man, Pastor Paul and Deborah Allen are dear, dear people. Solid, solid people, and we're blessed to have you in our corner. Thanks for inviting us over. I got to tell you that I was kind of in the loop, but not in the loop, but Paul and Deborah invited Gail and I over for dinner how many weeks ago? It was a few weeks ago, I think. And Gail asked me, and I said, man, this week is out. But what I didn't realize is that I could have done a re-invite. And so I found out this morning I never got back to them. But we love you so much. We love you guys. We love all of you. So, Father, we want to thank you and praise you. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you brought us together. And that, Lord, you're building something that looks like heaven. A small taste of what we're going to experience one day. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we walk humbly before you and we walk humbly before one another. That, Lord, your character was recognized as one who was meek and lowly. But meek didn't mean weak. It was strength under perfect control. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in our life, what you're doing in our church. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you bless each and every one of these children of yours here and their grandchildren. Amen. Lord, we thank you that your blessing flows, Lord, into every member of their family. And, Lord, as they keep talking to them, they keep encouraging them, Lord, that one day we'll see them. We'll see them here. And we'll get to love on them too. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your blessing. Lord, as we go our way today, we thank you, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to allow our lives to be a vision that is easily read. That our morals, our conduct, our behavior, our kindness, our gentleness, Lord, that they would be able to see quickly what we're all about, and that's all about you. Lord, we thank you that you gently correct our shortcomings. We thank you that you bump us gently back on course when we wander, when we drift, and we all do. So thank you, Lord, for all you do and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Listen, before you go, I want to make one announcement. I want you, if you could, to put June 25th on your calendars, all right? Because June 25th, we're going to be celebrating Pastor Jim's 70th birthday. Yeah. And we want to honor him, and we want to get as many people here to be able. It's going to be a whole service given to the honor of Pastor Jim. So June 25th is the date. We'll keep you informed. God bless you. Go in peace.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.